Hello, my name is Vesa Juvonen. I'm a Senior Program Manager in Office 365. In this particular video, we'll have a closer look at what is Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices transformation process and how you can use that to build your own offering or a process to transform your own or other companies' farm solutions to the adding model. Before we actually go to the process itself and what are the material what we are actually releasing, let's slightly have a look on the developer vision around Office 365. You've probably seen this slide a few times before, but the key point of the slide is that the roadmap of the service and also the SharePoint is guiding us to the direction where we are implementing all of our customizations in SharePoint, also including on-premises, using the adding model capabilities. And when I think about the bigger picture of the developer vision around Office 365, including the SharePoint, this is a really an awesome opportunity for developers and partners and ISVs to build their business on. We have 1.2 billion users in Office worldwide who are building them these solutions or using the applications, and we're able to reach all of these users using the standardized store mechanisms as long as the customizations are built using the adding model techniques, so that they don't restrict where the customizations can be executed or can be running. They're not limited only on the cloud, they can be executed in the on-premises as well, and vice versa. The key point here is to kind of the fact that we will have these extension points around different capabilities and different applications around Office, including the SharePoint, which you can then extend. And you can use whatever devices, or the end users can use whatever devices to access these individual endpoints and customization points or customizations hosted by Office solutions. And from a usability or data perspective or implementation perspective, it's really cool that you're able to use whatever device accessing the SharePoint and run these applications in the SharePoint or in Office in general. You're able to access the individual services in Office 365 as well from any device or any platform, or using just, for example, a HTML and a browser UIs and a browser technologies to gain access on all of these goodies and all of opportunities around Office 365 and SharePoint as well. Now, going back on the statements or the key point on the presentation is the transition to the SharePoint adding or slash add-in model or app model or adding model. And when I think about the adding model from a two different perspective, it actually brings us a lot of benefits. Obviously, for the IT pros, it gives us the benefit of having a scalable solution. If we build those solutions or build those apps or add-ins using the provider-hosted application, so we're able to scale that application independently without impacting the SharePoint farm, and you're able to then scale that application by application even level if needed. It's really about aligning to the service roadmap or the product roadmap, so we will have all of our significant investments in the future for SharePoint in on-premises or in Office 365 around adding model. It also brings agile and faster deployment. This is a typical challenge with a farm solutions, because with the farm solutions, we're running the code in a full trusted mode, which means that we really need to understand what the farm solutions are actually doing so that they don't break, for example, the company rules from a security perspective, or they don't accidentally cause performance impact within a SharePoint farm. When we're taking advantage of the adding model, this is not an issue because the apps are actually running outside of the SharePoint and they take advantage of the remote APIs within the SharePoint. So therefore, the apps or add-ins cannot compromise the SharePoint farm. You control the release process, which is a really important thing. It brings agility. You as a customer or a partner using their services, is it a SharePoint Online, is it Office 365, Office 365 Dedicated, there doesn't have to be a significant ALM process around getting those customizations deployed. You are able to deploy your widgets or business code, the cloud or SharePoint deployment in a much faster way compared to the more traditional way, ALM requirements. And obviously, it's also about the fact that the customization will be then cloud enabled. It doesn't mean that you have to run to SharePoint within the cloud, but it really brings you that opportunity from a business perspective that if at some point you want to have a look on the running the stuff or your SharePoint deployment within the cloud, the customizations won't be the one which are holding you back. It gives you the freedom of choice. Do you still continue running your SharePoint within the on-premises, or if you want to move to the cloud, comparing, for example, as an example, comparing the individual costs between the on-premises and cloud, and if somebody makes the decision to move to the cloud, then the customizations will be ready to be used within the cloud as well. The second dimension on this discussion is obviously the developers. And so for the developers, there is a significant amount of remote APIs. So we're able to really truly take advantage of so-called service-oriented approaches of implementing customizations. So we're able to use those individual services within the SharePoint with these remote APIs. It's also about the fact that your customizations are cloud-enabled. It's a similar thinking as with an IT Pro. But really, it comes down on the fact that we write the customization once, and it can be executed or hosted or deployed to on-premises or within the cloud. Also, the adding model is really cross-device model. So quite often we tend to concentrate on individual customizations within the SharePoint UI, but just as well, the similar model can be adapted within iPhones or iPads or Windows phones or Androids. So you are able to take advantage of the exact same development patterns when you are developing your applications, which could then take advantage of the SharePoint from a storage perspective, or they could take advantage of the SharePoint, for example, from a search service perspective or from any other service perspective. It really is also, from a developer perspective, aligning with the roadmap. The app model is definitely the model where we are heading and the recommended approach also for on-premises. And then there's the security aspect as well, not necessarily only for developers, but these customizations are truly executed in a more secured way. And you need to have the right permissions, or the end user needs to have the right permissions to be able to install and grant the right permissions to these applications. And you're able to revoke those app permissions whenever needed. Now, if we think about that BNP, or the Patterns and Practices Transformation process, it really comes down on thinking that you want to modernize your custom SharePoint applications. You want to move away from the feature framework and the farm solution capabilities, which originally were actually introduced in 2000 with the SharePoint 2007. We absolutely understand that there's a lot of customizations out there, and it takes a while to actually do the transition. But really, isn't the feature framework isn't the model where we want to what we want to continue using within the future with the customizations. We want to take advantage more open and more, let's say, industry standard ways of implementing these customizations. Really, you might take advantage of new features and benefits within the standard SharePoint app or an adding model perspective. Good example of that one is that whenever you're deploying a new functionalities, there's no downtime. To be able to actually update these widgets and functionalities without impacting the SharePoint availability. So, for example, your documents and services within a SharePoint won't be actually down due to time whenever there's a update for these customizations, because the implementation is loosely coupled. The customizations are not running within a SharePoint. They're not running within the SharePoint environment at all, and that clearly gives us additional benefits. Enhance your custom solution by leveraging power of SharePoint app and adding model. And that really is an interesting statement, because quite often people tend to think about the fact that the app or adding model is much more limited than the farm solutions or farm API. And in some sense, that's actually true if we just concentrate on a SharePoint API capabilities and API level. But then at the same time, especially with Office 365 and especially within the cloud, we have much more additional opportunities when we combine the SharePoint app and adding model with the Microsoft Azure capabilities and then build integrations to on-premises system or other cloud systems using these standardized mechanisms in the Microsoft Azure. Leverage available community IP and expertise is essentially a crucial benefit out of thinking through and taking advantage of the patterns and practices and patterns and practices transformation process. We absolutely recommend you to have a look on that the patterns and practices, Office 365 developer patterns and practices, which is also showing examples and patterns for on-premises adding deployments. The SharePoint app and adding model is a recommended customization pattern for Office 365 and on-premises, and that's absolutely the statement in the future as well. The adding model is here to stay, and we're making all the significant investments in the adding model side and building that that's based on that standardized web development technologies, what the SharePoint app and adding model is built on. Now, if we think about what the BMP transformation process is actually giving, or the, what the process is actually for, it's really based on a proven process, what we have been using internally within the Microsoft together with some of our enterprise customers. So all of these this process and the templates are actually coming from a real-life projects and based on the learnings what we've been gaining from working with these larger customers for a few years already in the app model transformation. The process guidance is also giving you some help on the messaging around the transformation, so you will understand where the Microsoft is planning to go and where the Microsoft direction is related on the customizations with the SharePoint. It's really about assistant getting customization cloud ready. And I kind of touched base that already in the previous slides, but it's really important to realize that we're not forcing anybody to go to the cloud. What we're saying is that you probably want to, though, still be cloud ready. So then it's your decision or the customer's decision when they actually want to move to the cloud. So the customizations don't themselves, they don't actually restrict that decision. And that won't be then a factor on the decision making, is to move to the cloud or not move to the cloud. Or maybe you want to host your SharePoint customization in some other third-party provider. Having the customizations in adding model will give you then the benefit of comparing those options and the costs related on those options, and then you're able to make that right decision, which is beneficial for the business. And really, the key point, obviously, on a transformation process is to provide insights on the needed actions. So we'll give you a five-step kind of a process, which we've been using successfully within our enterprise customers, and you're able to adapt that process for your personal consumption, depending on are you a customer or a partner or a vendor, and how do you want to approach the transformation as such. Really, just to be clear on the recommendations, we kind of touched base this already as well, but the SharePoint customization recommendations, we do not really recommend the right full trust code or farm solutions any longer. They are absolutely supported. They continue being supported in on-premises. They will, however, never be supported within Office 365. So we and for that sake, we recommend people to start thinking moving under the app model or adding model approach. So you have that freedom, where do you want to run or where do you want to host your SharePoint deployment. From a adding model perspective, we also do recommend to usage of the provider hosted add-ins as the recommended approach. And this really comes down on the capability of the model. The SharePoint-hosted add-ins are absolutely valid. They are fully supported, but they are pretty limited. You're limited to write JavaScript. You're also limited from a permission perspective, and you're limited from a capability perspective. With the provider-hosted model, you're able to take advantage, for example, the Microsoft Azure platform if you're running into Office 365, or you're able to take advantage of a native managed code within the on-premises as well. So it's much more flexible approach to look into rather than to SharePoint hosted apps. It has, however, the hosting impact. So we do absolutely understand that there are differences related on the requirements when you're actually hosting a SharePoint hosted app or a provider hosted app. But we sincerely recommend to looking into that provider hosted model because that's more flexible, more enterprise development oriented approach related on your SharePoint customizations. Provider hosted add-ins is hosted in Microsoft Azure for Office 365, and that's clearly a recommendation. And really, it comes down on the hosting those provider hosted apps or add-ins in the Microsoft Azure platform as a service side. not on the infrastructure as a service side. Because the platform as a service side, you don't have to worry about the operational impact and maintenance of the operating systems, which you have to do if you're hosting customizations in the virtual machines. In on-premises, we don't have a platform as a service offering or capabilities, at least right now. So you absolutely need to think about the model where you host your provider-hosted apps in on-premises. Most likely, it's a two-server or three-server setup where you are then load balancing those requests in on-premises side. But especially in Office 365, we absolutely recommend to take advantage of the platform as a service capabilities in Microsoft Azure, because that's also where the future innovation will happen in the cloud side. Now, when we start talking about the app model and adding models, quite often we hear that people are starting or that their initial thinking is that the apps are those stuff which are actually within the Microsoft or SharePoint store or the Office store or whatever we call it for at this moment. But that's not really true, the real statement of the app model or add-ins in our terminology. Obviously, if we start from the left side, we have the farm solutions, Fortress solutions, and these are more for the ISV solutions. They're only for on-premises. There could be, for example, custom service applications, custom WCF services, if you still need to do them for some reason. Then on the right side of the slide, we have the store and corporate catalog apps. So the applications which you're able to instant from the Office store or from your corporate catalog, which is bypassing the Office store, and you're able to add your in-house or partner-driven or developed solutions there. But then that's usually the thinking when we start, for many of the people, when we start telling about or when we start talking about the add-ins or app model implementations. The reality is, however, that in many cases, especially with our enterprise deployments, we are actually implementing majority of our customizations in the middle section, which is so-called client-side solutions. And what we mean with this one is that we take advantage of the highly increased or highly improved JavaScript frameworks for providing the UI capabilities for the end users. We also take advantage of the remote provisioning model and remote provisioning pattern, which gives us the flexibility of applying the needed configurations to the SharePoint sites using these remote APIs. So quite often what we're seeing is that people don't necessarily even develop apps in the enterprise development scenarios. You actually concentrate on your efforts on the remote provisioning. And what that could mean is for example, whenever a new site collection or a new site is created within the SharePoint, we create automatically or deploy automatically the needed branding, configuration, site columns, content types, lists and libraries, and all of that stuff using the remote APIs what we have available within the SharePoint. Embracing unghosted model means that we deploy individual assets in a site collection level, which gives us also the flexibility of updating individual site collections one by one if needed, which could be seen as a benefit or as a downside of the model as well. SharePoint app dimension with provider hosted apps to provide new capabilities, and then customer specific customizations which are applied using the remote APIs. So that's really kind of a third level of approach when we talk about the customizations within a SharePoint. And within the Microsoft terminology, it's really important to realize that when we talk about the app model or adding model, it's all about all of those technologies which are not using farm solutions. So technologies or approaches where we are actually taking advantage of these remote APIs and providing the capabilities using that remote, running the code remotely outside of the SharePoint. Now, moving back actually on the app transformation process, and this is a five-step process which we've been using internally or with our enterprise, some of our enterprise customers who've been moving from the farm solutions to the adding model. And this is a proven process which has been highly successful with the larger customers on making this transition. And how do we start this transition process is that we always start that with the readiness or preparedness stage. And it's really about making sure that the people do understand what the app model is all about. So how do we actually approach that? What are the capabilities, what the app model is actually having? What are the existing IP and assets available in the internet for implementing then or approaching the app model or adding model topics? It's also on making decisions related on hosting. So we really need to make that decision related on hosting as soon as possible, for example, for on-premises. So we do understand then the network impact analysis or network impact of that hosting decision as part of that early stage on, because that will then impact all of the following steps or actions to be completed. And then obviously make sure that people do understand what is the development model changes required related on the app model approaches. So as an example, you don't need to have a separate VM or separate SharePoint deployment for all of your developers. You are able to just do SharePoint add-in model development using a laptop which is connected to a remote SharePoint deployment. And multiple developers can share the same SharePoint deployment or individual SharePoint farm for creating those customizations as a teamwork within the project. The following step is then the assessment, and obviously a really, really important step when we start approaching the transformation. It's really about analyzing the existing solution and how they are used, analyzing also the code and the functionality from a technical perspective. But the key point of the step is actually concentrate on the business and functional requirements. How does the functionality actually work? What are we trying to achieve? Why is that functionality out there? So it's really important to realize that you should not just have a look on the farm solution code and then make conclusions out of that existing code that we need to have certain capabilities implemented. As an example, there's 5 web parts, and all of those web parts will mean that there's 5 app parts. That would be a wrong conclusion, or it might be a wrong conclusion. And it really comes down on understanding how those web parts are used. It might be a web part which is only used in the front page of the corporate intranet, and then the implementation in adding model won't be an app part. It might be embedded a JavaScript in the page layout, as an example. So it's really, really important to have a live demos of the customization, have that discussion with the end users or the owners of the deployment to understand which of the customizations are still used, which of them are important, which of them are no longer used, and so on. So we are able to then assess the existing usage and usage patterns efficiently enough for making those designs for the following step. And then the following step is the planning, kind of a high-level planning. How we would then enable those business and functional requirements using the add-in model techniques. A classic example being that you might have a business requirement to do custom branded OneDrive for Business sites or My sites. When we are approaching that with an add-in model, the implementation is completely different than using a farm solutions techniques. But the end result will be the same. The end result will be that for the end users, the OneDrive for Business sites will be automatically branded automatically. So from an end user perspective, they won't actually see a difference. In the planning stage, it's obviously about defining the high-level plan, how we are approaching this approach, which of the techniques we need to use, which of the customizations we need to actually write, which of the functionalities or which of the solutions we could be converting to out-of-the-box capabilities. So this is an awesome time to reevaluate, do we actually need to have that customization in first place? And if we do, then how do we actually implement that using the adding model patterns? And after this one, it's time for accurate estimates. So for our own internal execution of this process, these steps number 1, 2, and 3 have been a fixed fee project, which has been having 80 to 100 hours locked to these 3 steps, depending on a customer size and depending slightly on the approach itself. Because now, after these steps, we're able to actually make the estimates for the implementation stage. We now know what we need to actually implement. We now know which of the techniques and which of the customizations we're able to implement using out-of-the-box capabilities, or maybe which of the customizations we will be completely dropping from the new version of the deployment. And then the final step is obviously the deployment, actually deploying that add-in solutions to be running somewhere. Also, really important stage is the existing content retrofitting, thinking through what needs to be done so that the existing content, which has now still dependencies or might have dependencies on existing farm solution assets, how do we convert that existing content not to be dependent on the farm solutions? So we're kind of doing a retrofitting or transformation for the content as well. And that might be complex, and that might be relatively simple. It really comes down on the deployment details. So really, really important thing to consider as part of the early stage, all stages of planning the actual execution. The following step is kind of looking at five actions in a slightly different perspective. The step number one is the readiness assessment and planning. And this is really, like I said, we used to execute this as a fixed fee and fixed timed project for the customers. And we had some deliverables for all of these steps. And out of this one, the step number one, we get those detailed statement of work for accurate estimates, and we're able to then provide accurate cost evaluation on the needed actions to be completed. And then step number two is develop and deploy. That's when we actually develop and implement these customizations. And that's when we actually get the FTC replaced with the app model comparison or adding model comparison. And obviously, if you do have multiple solutions, we would be repeating the steps one by one for the solutions, or you could actually combine five solutions to be done as a one big bang. Slightly depends again how many customizations, how many solutions you have there within your farm, which are need to be assessed and converted. And then taking those five steps and looking this from a slightly bigger perspective, so we do have customers who are, let's say, significant, who have a significant amount of farm solutions out there, or on-premises customizations, and they're looking into transforming them to be cloud compliant so they're able to move to Office 365. And this is just the one slider which is kind of an explaining a slightly different process and slightly bigger process of taking that assessment stage. And assessment and planning and implementation and deployment in a factory thinking. And what I mean with that one is that we obviously, if we have a significant amount of those solutions, we really need to first categorize and prioritize which of those solutions are relevant, which of those solutions we might actually still remain in the farm solution stage, and which of them will be relevant to convert for the adding model. If nothing else, we need to prioritize which of them are the ones which we should start first working, and which of them are the ones which are not as important. Maybe they don't have as much end users working for them. Then we move to the detailed assessment and planning, and based on the categorization and prioritization, we create individual patches. So it might be within a one patch, we have five solutions, within a patch number two, five, patch number three, five, and so on. Again, if this is a big deployment. And then all the time we're getting all of the learnings and patterns and practices, let's say, rerouted back on the teams so that they will learn from the work what they're actually doing. Whenever the first batch has been completed from an assessment and planning perspective, we'll move that one into patch number one in the implementation and deployment side. So at that point, it might be a completely different team who's actually implementing then the adding model design and adding model implementation of the particular solution. And then we repeat these steps obviously as many times as we have the solutions. But you can absolutely do this, the detailed assessment and planning and implementation and deployment in parallel. Most likely, even that there will be multiple different teams doing those things, because the actual implementation requires slightly different skill sets than the detailed assessment and planning. So it might be that you are using multiple teams and you have that process available. How do you transform individual results from the assessment and planning stage to the actual implementation? And then you might have a separate deployment team which is deploying those things to the production or to the customer. Again, slightly depends on your deployment and your deployment details. But it's a kind of an interesting model for a really large scale factory. How do we start transforming significant amount of solutions which I might have to the adding model based? And this is also based on a real life experience and real life learnings, which has been completed with few of our larger enterprise customers. Now, coming back on that actual PNP transformation process and what were those assets which we are right now releasing, this will be obviously evolving stage, evolving package based on also the input and feedback that we're getting from the field and customers. But we are releasing template files, so the introduction presentation, which is this one, which we have the video on. There's a kickoff presentation, preparedness, readiness presentation, solution assessment, solution design report. So these are just helping you to give, for example, giving you a template which is showing what would be the typical things to point out when you are completing or running this kind of a project. They're not necessarily to be used as such whenever you are actually fulfilling or executing a project. They're more for you to take and adapt based on your individual way of then approaching or running these projects. We did have this IP and we really wanted to provide that for the field so that you are able to build your own project processes or your own offerings on the transformation topic. So there's clearly a significant opportunity on this particular topic, because there's so many customers who are looking into moving from the farm solution side to the adding model approach. And on these templates, so obviously there's the template files, and then there's the sample documentation. We used an imaginary Contoso company as the example, which is then, well, there's some example content for written for individual templates themselves. Obviously, these are reference files, which you can modify as needed based on your own offerings and project objectives, like mentioned already when we went through the template files themselves. These are provided as is, so they are essentially a starting point for you to rebuild your offering around the transformation process. Quick notes on the usage guidance. So you are more than willing to use all of these templates and documents in any way you want around any way you want within the webcasts or within your projects or within your whatever material or event you are planning to do. So we give this guidance available. We are absolutely interested. If you are willing to give us feedback back, we are absolutely interested on getting that feedback using the patterns and practices Yammer Group. We're not going to actually take any questions in the video recording, but the key point, a few additional slides for the resources. The Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices, aka MS Office Dev PNP, is really the guidance where a lot of this learnings and the processes actually process approach is actually coming from as well. So we are evolving this guidance all the time. There's some additional URLs like Office AKMS Office Dev PMP Yammer, which is the Yammer group for the patterns and practices discussion. So if you have any feedback, any comments around the process, just let us know, and we're more than willing to we really want to evolve the material as well. All of the material is available in a GitHub, so you are able to also submit pull requests and change requests to this open source material. There's also the Office Dev PNP videos, which is showing additional videos around these patterns, and also Office Dev PNP training, which is a specific training designed for the app model transformation. Some additional assets, dev.office.com is the one place, one location to get started on the Office 365 development or the adding model development as well in the SharePoint, also in on-premises site. So really go there and have a look on those assets which are available. And we are extremely interested on getting your feedback. So use the Office 365 network. There's also the PNP group is located in the Office 365 Yammer network. Stack Overflow is actively used, and use a voice for any of the gaps or or functions or suggestions what you want to see in the future versions of the SharePoint around, for example, the adding model capabilities. And that's all we're going to do within this presentation. So this was really about the patterns and practices transformation guidance and the material which are given or published for the customers and partners and vendors to reuse. Hopefully you find the material useful and helpful. And thank you for watching the video.